guys. Welcome back to another episode of Just Jay, the podcast. I know that I said that I was going to drop my collab this week, but I feel like the episode that I'm recording right now, if I leave it in the vault for over a week, y'all will never see it. And I don't want to do that because I know that everything that I anticipate to talk about is important, not only for me, but I know that it could reach somebody else because that's been the lesson that I've been learning with a lot of the reels that I've been posting and a lot of the topics that I choose to share before the episodes drop. There's always somebody that understands. There's always somebody that can relate. And yeah, I feel like this episode is so raw and so real. Like, I literally just got up this morning and I was like, I want to talk. Like, I don't feel well. I sound terrible, but I want to talk because I have a lot that I feel and a lot that's been going on, and I know that there's somebody that will be able to relate because there always is. So last we left off, I went on vacation. I went on a 5-day cruise to the Bahamas and Turks and Caicos. It was amazing. It was beautiful. Personally, I feel like I'm sick right now because I was in the sun way too much. But I love the sun. I'm an earth sign, so like I'm a water baby too. So like obviously the water out there is so clear. The ocean is so beautiful. So like I was in that beach. I was swimming. I was outside. I was doing everything. I rode dune buggies through Grand Turks. Like I was doing everything, and I really feel like I overdid it a little bit, and now I'm sick. But it is what it is. Vacation was great. Vacation was from the 17th to the 22nd. On the 22nd, we had two flights. We had a flight from Orlando, where our cruise port was, Orlando to Pittsburgh, and then we had a connecting flight from Pittsburgh to New York. The flight from Orlando took off way too late because of the weather, so we missed our flight, our connecting flight, so we were stuck in Pittsburgh from the 22nd to the 23rd. Horrible. Hate Pittsburgh. Literally will never go there because of that situation. I also think at a certain point, like, vacation is cool until like you get to the like fourth, fifth day and you're like, all right, like I need to get back to my routine. I need to get back to my bed. Like, I was so ready to go. Like, and when we missed our fucking flight in Pittsburgh, bitch, I was so livid. Like, I wanted to fucking fly. I honestly probably would have walked home. Like, that's how angry I was. But flew back home. Actually, we stayed in Pittsburgh for the night, got a really cool hotel, ate some good dinner, rested up a little bit, then flew home that Saturday, or literally, what fucking day is today? Tuesday. Saturday, this past Saturday, we flew home. And it's kind of crazy because, like, this vacation transition back to my routine was totally different because it's like I was transitioning from like the highs of vacation to like immediately having to figure out or find outfits for a funeral. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just crazy. My cousin had passed away 2 days before we left. She was in the hospital for a while. She was sick for a while. And I remember my mom being like literally on the way to the hospital to go see her. And I shit you not, I'm literally in the car about to get out. Actually, I think I'm walking into my pedicures, like the girl that I go to do my pedicures, like I go to her house to do it. Literally walking inside, sitting down, getting my pedicure done. And my dad texted me and was like, Mache passed away. And I immediately call my mom because I'm like, my mom is at the hospital right now. Like, don't tell me she died like in front of my mom. Like, that's crazy. My mom told me that she was 2 minutes late, but my cousin's sister was in the room with her when she passed, so she was around love. She wasn't by herself, which is, like, that's the brighter side of it, like, the positive thinking side of it. But yeah, she passed away August 14th. We still went away on vacation, which I didn't think my mom was going to want to go, but I think that our cousin would have wanted us to. We got home on Saturday. Her funeral was on Monday, which was yesterday. And I I just feel a whirlwind of emotions. Like, I never understood what Lauren London meant in her Angie Martinez interview when she said sitting at the front row of the funeral was different. Because when my godfather passed away when I was 13, I sat in the front row, but I was 13. I had no idea the actual reality of death, right? But at 24, sitting in the front row of a funeral is so life-changing. To the point where, like, I'm in the front row, so, like, anybody that's walking past the casket to say their goodbyes to her or whatever has to walk past me to get out. So it's like, I'm sitting next to my parents, my cousins are all in the front row, her sisters are all in the front row, like, that, all I can literally say is life-changing. Like, that literally rewires somebody's brain, like, sitting front row at a funeral. And I never understood it, because I watched that Lauren London episode, an interview, over and over again. I never understood what she meant. I was like, damn, I sat front row when I was little, but I never got it until yesterday. And I don't know, like, and also, like, my mom was supposed to read the obituary. I knew before we even got there, because of how close my cousin and my mom were. Now, mind you, little backstory, it's eight of them. And my mom, my cousin that passed away, and there's like six more of my cousins that are all like, grew up together, super close. They have a cousin's group chat. Like, they was tight. Like, they were like sisters, technically. And I knew that when I tell you this girl was at my house for every birthday, every holiday, everything that my mom was throwing and my dad was throwing, she was there. So I knew going into it that my mom was not going to be able to read the obituary. I knew that. So I came there prepared to read it for her if I had to. But the whole time I'm like, mom, you got this. Like, don't worry. Like, but my mom was distraught and I knew she would be. So when it came time to read the obituary, I go up with my mom because I was like, I'm not going to let her go up there by herself, because if she need me, I'm going to take over. Go up there with my mom. Me and my parents and my cousins are on the left side, and then the rest of my cousins are on the right side. So when I'm standing up there reading the obituary, they're on the right side right in front of me looking at me. So, you know, my cousins who are her sons and her daughters that lost their fucking mom, they're sitting there like, you got it, like, don't worry. To my mom couldn't even get past the first sentence. So in my head, mind you, I'm panicking because there's so many people in the crowd. And I'm just like, I have to do this. Like, I have to. Like, what the fuck I'm going to do? Walk, like, run away? So I'm like, I grab the microphone from her and I'm like, I'm going to finish it for her, y'all. Mind you, still not feeling well because I still sounded like this yesterday. But I read that shit so fucking perfectly, bitch. It was crispy, okay? Crispy. To the point where I walked back to my fucking seat and my uncles was like, yo, that's how you do it. That's how you give a fucking speech. That's how you articulate your fucking words. And the whole time, I literally was like, damn, I'm gonna fuck this up. Damn, I'm gonna fuck this up. Fuck, fuck, fuck. I have never read an obituary at a funeral before. I have never been that close to the fucking funeral procession or whatever. I have never done that shit before. And I'm telling you, sitting front row and reading that obituary has me fucked up right now. And it's like, I'm so happy that, I can't say that I'm happy that she's transitioned, because that's like, obviously not like, nobody would ever want that. Like, I know from like what my parents and my cousins have been telling me that like she was in so much pain that like she's okay now. But it's like, I'm grateful for the process and this experience, because it's also allowed me to get closer with my cousins. Like, bro, me and my cousins probably haven't seen each other since I was in high school, bro. So it's like, I'm seeing all of them yesterday and I'm like, yo, we're not 11 to 14 no more. We're fucking well into our 20s at this point. I'm 24. My cousin is 26, 28. Like, we're all grown. And it's like, we've let so much time pass to the point where, like, we're looking at each other like, what the fuck? Like, you were 12 when I last saw you. Like, how the fuck are you? and we lived around the corner from each other. Like, that's the fucking worst part about it. Like, and I just texted my cousin today, whose mom passed. I just texted him today. I was like, yo, I'm so sorry that, like, I was so occupied with my own life that I was one of those, like, Instagram cousins instead of, like, a real one. Because, like, they were so accessible to me. They were literally 15 minutes away, no matter where I was. And it's like, I never thought, like, oh, let me call my cousin. Oh, let me see how they're doing. You know what I mean? And it's like, it sucks that it took their mom literally dying for me to really, like, realize that life is so fucking short. But, like, it is. And I feel so bad for them, because it's like losing your mom right now in the midst of your 20s, in the midst of growing up. And mind you, my little cousin, her youngest kid, is only like 10 or 11. So I'm like, what? Like, I don't know. We did the funeral. The funeral was beautiful. Everybody had on green because her favorite color was green, and she loved peacocks. So I had on, like, peacock earrings. I had on a peacock brooch on my green dress. Like, everybody looked great. And everybody looked together. Like, there was no, you know what I mean? Like, because we had been anticipating, like, seeing some other family members that we obviously didn't want to see, but they didn't come. So, hey, I appreciate y'all for that, because ain't nobody had time for that. But I don't know. This transition has caused me to want to be closer to those who want to be closer to me. I seen this video last night where it was like, only give your time to those whose eyes light up when they see you coming. And that shit hit me, because it's like, there's so many people that I see and I immediately light up because I just love everybody, right? But like, going down the line of people that I feel like have not reciprocated that energy for me, like, what, like, I don't even know how to explain it. Like, just going down the line and realizing that, like, I overexerted myself in a lot of people's lives, like, given 100% of myself and only gotten 50 to 75% back, that's a problem for me at this point. Because it's like, even when I was on my cruise, like, I blocked so many of my family members. I was like, damn, maybe I should change my number. And honestly, I went back on it and I was like, nah, I'm not changing my number and having to learn a whole new number just for people that I don't want to be contacted by, when I could just block them, right? But now that I'm like, you know, a couple days have passed and I've really thought about it, I probably should change my number, because like, I want to go where love is at, and there's not much fucking love where I've been at, respectfully. And I just think that where I am right now, I'm totally different from who I was last week, from who I was the week before, the month before, the year before. I'm totally different. And I'm even looking at myself like, damn, you've been through a lot and you're fucking tired. I can see it. But like, there's nothing in you that would be like, okay, I'm just going to give up at all. That's just not even the type of person that I am. But it's like, I was just telling my homegirl, like, I think I'm at rock bottom right now. And like, the only way out of this is up. And it's crazy, because last night I had a dream, and I woke up at like 4 a.m., bro. The dream was of Bane, and there was another King Corso that looked exactly like him. But I was looking at their collars, and obviously, you know, the chain Bane wore with the little black name tag that said Bane on it. He had his on, and there was another dog that had like a blue one, but it didn't have a name. So I woke up, and mind you, in the dream, they was play fighting. And I really feel like, because you know how when you wake up, you forget certain things. I feel like now that I'm remembering, and now that I'm like fully awake, the kitchen that they were play fighting in was my grandma's old kitchen, like where I grew up at. And like, it's so familiar to me now, but when I woke up, I was like, damn, where the fuck was I? But they was play fighting in the kitchen, and I was like, yo, hey, and I snapped my fingers and they stopped. Typical, like Bane always used to do. Like, I didn't even have to raise my voice too loud for Bane to be like, okay, I'm not playing about my mom. You know what I mean? So when I woke up, I realized like, that was just Bane and another one of his friends from the Rainbow Bridge that he brought to see me. And I realized, like, ever since Bane died, like, his thing is, like, he'll come into my dreams, but he'll bring other dogs with him to let me know, like, I'm cool. Like, look, I met this dog, you know what I mean? Just to satisfy me. And it's like, I appreciate that, because it's like, not only is he coming to see me when he knows that I need it the most, but he's also bringing others to be like, yo, this is my mom. She loves me. She misses me. And I miss her and love her too. But we got to go just check on her together so that she knows that I'm not alone. And I, when I tell you, I was, oh my God, I'm about to fucking cry right now. But I was bawling at 4 a.m. because I'm like, damn, like, of all days, this dog want to come and fuck with me today. And it's like, it was so needed, but it's just like, it's so crazy how the world works. And like, I know Mache wasn't fucking with Bane because he was too big. But like, I know Bane and I know his personality. And I know that he probably watched her walk through the gates of heaven and was like, oh my God, I remember her. Like, oh my God, I gotta go fuck with her. And I just hope that they're both at peace and they're just chilling and they're happy, because I just posted on my close friends last night and I was like, damn, like, I am not okay. Like, I wish I could like FaceTime heaven or call up to heaven, because all my people are up there. And it's crazy, because there's been incidents, like when I first got home from vacation, there was an incident where I totally lost my cool. Like, the rage that I like embodied was like so different. But I've always been a type of person that goes from 0 to 100 quick. And like, I'm also a type of person that when I'm at 100, I stay there until I feel like I've done enough damage. I'm one of those people. I'm a crash out low key. Like, when it comes to my family or my friends, and like, I feel like their respect is being played with or my respect is being played with, I crash out. And like, is that something I'm proud of? No, because for a while I had overcome it. But I'm realizing that because I'm not going to therapy, because I'm just going from traumatic situation to traumatic situation and like just keeping it pushing and not giving myself time to chill, like, that side of me is coming back, and I never really wanted it to. But I was telling my dad about how I was feeling after the incident. He was like, yo, like, I gave you that. My dad was like, when you were going through that situation, I saw so much of me. And he was like, that's why I didn't judge you. That's why I didn't reprimand you, because I know that feeling. And there are people who are never going to understand that unless they have it. And I'm at a point where I'm like, I don't want to be a rageful person. I don't want to be an angry person. I don't want to be an aggressive person. I don't want to be a mean person. But the things that I have gone through literally up until yesterday have totally fucked with me, to the point where I feel like I am not who I am. And did you hear my stomach? I am not who I am. And I just, the last like 4 months of 2024, like, are so personal for me right now, because like I said, I feel like I've hit rock bottom and the only way out is up. But it's like, at the same time, I have my aunts telling me, like my two aunts, because on Sunday before the funeral, we had like a barbecue or a kickback or a cookout, whatever, at my aunt's house. And my two aunts like pulled me to the side and they were giving me my flowers, and they were like, yo, I'm so proud of you. Like, everything that you go through, like, you really have still kept your head afloat and just did what the fuck you had to do. And I was just like, little do y'all know that, like, I'm dying inside. Like, little do y'all know. And like, one of my aunts was like, fuck, I'm emotional. One of my aunts was like, yo, I be telling you, because this is my aunt through, like, she's dating I ain't even gonna say dating, because at this point, them motherfuckers is married and they ain't never going nowhere. But she's my aunt. She is with my uncle from my mom's side, but she's my aunt, bitch. I don't give a fuck what nobody say. But she was like, I be telling your uncle all the time, like, the person that's going to change the family dynamic is Jay. She was like, you're the only person that can do it. And I see that because you don't take no bullshit. You don't go for the shit that they going for. And it's like, you're so young and you're so able to like see through all the fucked up shit that's been going on for years and years and years, and you're not having it. And she was like, you are going to be what changes the dynamic for a lot of us. And I genuinely, like, it feels so good getting your flowers from people that you literally do it for, from people that you literally, like, adore and look up to. But when you're, like, in the midst of what I'm in the midst of, when you're trying to do what I'm trying to do, like, it's so hard to, like, hear people, and it's so hard to register that. But, like, the conversations that I had with them and the conversation that I had with my dad over my incident, like, my dad sees me in a different fucking way. And I always knew that. That's not a new fact for me. Like, me and my dad are literally like two peas in a pod. Like, that's my homie. And everybody that knows me knows him, because that's probably like the first person that I ever want to introduce anybody to. But I'm going through the craziest mental and emotional transition, to where it's like, I'm realizing a lot. And it goes back to giving your time to the people whose eyes light up when they see you, right? Like, I have homegirls I have homegirls, and even like my bros, like, when people need me, I'm there 10 toes. And like, what I also have to realize is that I'm just a natural lover. I'm a natural caretaker. So if I'm going to be in your life, I'm giving you 100% of me. I'm going to give you all the love that I can. I'm going to give you all the energy I can. And people love to have me around because I give the overwhelming feeling of love and compassion and care. But what people also don't understand is that just because I give you that does not mean that I don't want that same energy back. And that's where a lot of my relationships are faltering at this point, because it's like, nobody's going to give me the energy that I'm giving because they're not me. And the quicker I understand that, and the quicker I learn that, the easier my life will be. But that is the hardest fucking thing for me to understand and learn in my life. And it always has been, because it's always been something where I'm like, damn, why the fuck they don't show up for me like they show up for their bros? Why the fuck they don't show up for me like they show up for you know what I mean? Why they don't support me like they support them? Why they don't treat me like they treat me? Because I'm one of those people where I also notice everything. I notice the slick comments. I notice how you move when it comes to me. I notice how you move when it comes to other people. I notice how you support me. I notice everything. People think I don't, but I do. And it's like, because people are so happy and comfortable with the love that I give, they don't think that they have to match that. But when I take myself away from the situation, I'm taking all of that with me. I will give you everything when I'm in your life, but I will also take everything away when I'm not. And I think that that's one of the factors that shocks a lot of people when I stop showing up, because it's like, damn, she was giving me all this love and then she just took it away. Why? I took it away because it wasn't matched. It wasn't reciprocated. And I learned that. And it took me a while to learn that. Bro, there's relationships with my brothers that I cry over. I literally go to sleep crying about my brother sometimes, because it's like, damn, he'll fuck with his bro and show his bro the utmost support for his business. When it comes to me, it's fucking crickets. That shit has been eating away at me since I started this fucking podcast, realistically. Because I think this is the outlet that showed me who fucks with me and who don't. Because it's like, the people that been on this show, they fuck with me. They fuck with me. They sat on this couch. They cried with me. They laughed with me. They talked shit with me. They did their big one with me. The people who have like fucking posted my shit on their story, they fuck with me because they see me. It's that simple. It's that easy to post me on your story first. It takes 6 seconds. But the ones that watched me build this shit from the ground up and have not shown it 1 ounce of love, that's where I used to really play myself and be like, damn, like, what's wrong with me that they don't want to support me? No, babe, that's not a you issue. So at this point, like, I'm taking 100% of me away, because I was 100% giving it away, because that's just who I am. That's just how I move when I love people. But I'm taking 100% of me back, and I'm not doing it, because I stand 10 toes with people. When people need me, I pull up, I'll fly to you, out. When I feel like you're going through something, because I'm also an empathetic person, so I feel a lot of people's emotions. When I feel like you're going through something, I'm calling you, I'm texting you. Bitch, I'm pulling up, okay? But when it comes to me needing people, I'm always on my own. Always. And I don't know if it's because I've been deemed as the strong friend a long ass fucking time ago. But in reality, like, the strong friends and the strongest people that you know are supposed to be the ones that you check on the most. But I also have to realize people are not like me. The heart that I have, the heart that's in my body beating so beautifully and so strong, is not in other people's bodies. So shit that I would do, a lot of niggas is not doing. Shit that I do to go above and beyond and show that I care about people, people are not fucking doing. And it angers, and I let that anger me, because it's like, if I would do that without thinking about it, why the fuck wouldn't you? But it's like, no, babe, not everybody is like you. Not everybody has the heart that you have. Be grateful that you have it. Because nobody will ever be able to say, damn, she didn't show up for me. That's fucking cap. Because I show up for everybody. Even when I feel like you don't show up for me. But at this point, I'm not doing that no more. Now, and I'm just saying this off of what I've gone through in the last 2 weeks, bro. Not, let alone what I've gone through in the last 4 or 5 years. Please be for real. The shit that I've gone through in the last 4 or 5 years, and Drew tells me this all the time. He's like, yo, the shit that you go through would have broke me a long ass fucking time ago. And a lot of my family members be like, yo, the shit that you've gone through, your parents are lucky that you are the type of child that you are. And even I'd be saying that, like, damn, like, I could have been a crash out doing drugs, doing extra shit that I don't need to be doing. But right now, I fucking just got a degree, and now I'm trying to find my fucking way in life and trying to be a better human. Because I don't want to be nobody that was on the right path and then lost it all because they went through too much. Nah. But I'm telling you, what I've gone through in the past 2 weeks, bro, and don't get me wrong, my cousins have it so much harder because they just lost their fucking mother. Okay. Yes, I lost somebody that I loved and that I cared about, but like for them, I know that it's heightened so much more. And I am also being an empath. I feel that. So yesterday at the repast, I literally was doing circles going from cousin to cousin to cousin to cousin just to make sure, yo, you good? You good? You need anything? You all right? You want to talk? Because I'm just like, yo, like, I've been absent in their lives for so long. And obviously, like, I'm not the youngest one because there's 2 younger than me. Actually, 3 younger than me. But, like, I'm still in the mix with the young one. So it's like, I'm not using that as an excuse. Like, oh, I'm younger than y'all. So, like, sorry, I've been doing. Nah, bro, I should have been stepped up and been the cousin I was supposed to be. But because I was occupied with my own life, I wasn't. But now, unfortunately, that we have this sudden an unfortunate fucking death in our family, like, now I'm here, now I'm present, now I'm really focused on who's fucking with me, you know what I mean? So I'm not giving out no more extra energy. What I just feel like also, and this will be my last point about the family situation, I feel like a lot of my family members are manipulative, and I've allowed them to gaslight me for a long time, to where it's like, oh, Jay's just emotional, she's just sensitive, she's just mean, she's just making a big deal out of nothing. When in reality, if motherfuckers would be like, oh, that's just Jay, she don't fuck with us, I would love that. I would respect that, because that's the truth. I don't fuck with y'all. Never really have, for real. I'm not gonna change myself to appease nobody. And I feel like I've allowed a lot of people in my life to really do foul things to me, and I've allowed them to be like, oh, well, you did this, you do this. And I'm just like, all right, but I ain't do it like that, bro. I might've did that one mistake, but I ain't fucked up after that. Niggas are constantly fucking up with me. So I'm just like, I'm cool, bro. I don't want you to reach out to me. I don't want you to check up on me, because that's not what nobody's been doing this entire time. So it's like, you know, but I'm realizing, like, the family that I do have, which is very little, because y'all know I don't really fuck with a lot of my family members, but the family that I do have, the ones that came up to New York from Georgia, North Carolina, all of them, that's really my family. And me and my cousins just made a cousins group chat because our moms had one, they still have one, but we created one of our own just to, and I texted in it today. I was like, our moms would be so proud of us doing this, because they would be. And I just feel like when it comes to grief, I can't seem to get away from it in my life, which is okay, because it's the biggest lesson and the biggest teacher in my life has been grief. And I've learned so much from it. Obviously, if I had the opportunity to bring back everybody that I've lost, I would, especially my dog. I would, and a lot of people, it's so annoying because now that like he's been gone for over a year now, it's like a lot of people would be like, just get a new one. Get more. Motherfucker, if you think I haven't thought about this already to the point where if I could buy 6 more dogs that look just like the one that I had and it would take away the pain of losing him, I would have had 6 fucking Cane Corsos running through this bitch already. Let's be real. But also, like, that dog, the connection I had with that dog was the strongest connection I've ever had in my life. And I've been around humans, people, my whole life. So think about that, bro. Like, it's not that fucking easy. If I could give the universe a list of 10 humans right now and trade them for Bane, I'm doing it. Obviously, I'm just trying to give y'all analogies to make y'all really understand the magnitude of what this dog has done for me, but I'm doing it. His whole fucking face is tattooed on my thigh, bro. Don't tell me to get a new one. So yeah, I'm gonna post about him for the rest of my life. I'm gonna be fucked up about him for the rest of my life, clearly, because he was the best thing that I owned. And it's just interesting how grief works, and it's crazy how, like, we literally got a headstone for Khalid, and then 2 days later, my other cousin passes away. And it's just like, whoa, like, you feel like you're getting closure with one situation, and you're moving on, you're growing, and then another one comes up. So I'm praying for everybody that's going through it right now, because I know I'm not the only one, but I'm also praying for the people that are like me, who have the heart that I have, who overexert themselves and always give 100% and don't ever get 100% back. Cause that shit is so hard, and it fucks with you. It really does. And I'm about to have to go back to work with my special needs students, and I'm gonna have to really have the positive energy to do that. And my energy is not fucking positive at all. And I'm just like, damn, this is my last week of summer vacation, and I really need to figure my shit the fuck out. But yeah, I hope somebody enjoyed this episode. I hope it got through to somebody and made somebody feel something and understand something, because I really needed to record it and I really needed to get all of that out. And I'm so proud of myself, because I literally got up this morning and I was like, I have to go downstairs and record. I haven't felt that in so long. But like, everything that I'm feeling and everything that's on my mind right now, I had to get it out in some form. And yeah, now I'm thinking, like, every time I post on my close friends, like, I have the same 2 people that respond. Obviously, TJ, my homegirl, who's been on the show so many times, and my homegirl Mila, who just had she just had twins, bro. She literally just had fucking twins. And all I've been thinking about today is how, like, I just want to be sitting on her couch feeding her children while she takes a nap. So I'm probably about to book a flight to Georgia at the end of this episode, because, like, that's somebody that I know sees me and her eyes light up. And those are the people that I need to be fucking with for real. So, yeah, I love y'all. Sorry my energy was so low, but I'm really not feeling well. But I'm happy that I got my ass down here and I talked my shit anyway. But I fuck with y'all. Yeah. See y'all next week. Next week, I'll definitely will drop the collab, though. I'm done talking for a little bit. But I had to give y'all this one so that y'all know, you know, what's been going on. And this conversation was very important, at least for me. So, next week, y'all will have a collab, and then I'll see y'all the week after that. Love y'all.